Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Never Have I Ever, where we talk about luring toddlers into submission and cursing at playgrounds. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 95. Hello, Shauna.
Hey.
Would you like to tell us how old your toddler is and what you've been up to this week?
Okay. She is 15 months and 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this week and last week have kind of been about napping. So I know that you made the switch over to one nap.
Yes.
And we didn't. We had a big fail. And then this last week, it's just been like so obvious that she's starting to really get ready to drop that second nap, right? Every day she's rejected a nap, either the afternoon one or the morning one.
Oh, man. That's so painful, too, because there's nothing worse than watching the monitor and being like, go to sleep.
Oh, I know. So she's been napping okay in the morning, and then I put her down for the afternoon nap, and she'll yawn and stuff, and I'll put her in there, and then she'll just sit up, play with her lovies, you know, talk, babble, cry, whatever. So,
which is exactly what my guy did, if you recall.
Really? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, we got to do this. And I was just really jealous of your whole like going cold turkey and just like all of a sudden one day doing it. And it was like worked. And even though that did not work for me before, I still had stars in my eyes and thinking I could do this. So I was just like, today we'll just put her down at 12:30 and see what happens. And it was just a disaster again.
Oh,
she just will not. She'll stay awake until then. But then when I put her down, she sleeps for like 30 minutes and wakes up furious and won't nap again. So it's just like, finally, I'm like, all right, I guess I gotta actually have some strategy here. So I went back to my tried and true sleep book, which I've always used since Elle was little. It's The Sleep Easy Solution by Jennifer Wahlberger and Jill Spivak. And they do have a section on naps. So I was like, all right, I guess I have to go see what they say about naps, you know.
Consult the literature.
Yes, exactly. So basically what I learned, this made me feel a lot better. They're talking about this is around the time that most babies do transition to one nap. And for a while, the kids are going to be in what they call the yuck zone. And it could last for like a week to a month where they reject that second nap, but they're really like, one nap isn't quite enough for them, you know, or they get tired in the morning still and really can't make it yet to the middle of the day, but they're still rejecting that second nap. And it's just like everything's just messed up for a while. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you for just validating my experience.
Totally.
Letting me know that this is normal and it will end. So that helped me calm down a little bit and just be like, okay, we're just in the yucca zone.
Isn't it nice? I feel like, just knowing that it's not just you and your defective baby.
Yes. And knowing that it won't last forever. They're like, you know, it might last a month at the most while you're making this transition, because that's what it is. It's a transition. Mm-hmm. You've got to like kind of teach them this new way.
And I have to remind you that your memory of mine being like seamless and not a problem is a little rose colored. The reason we cold turkeyed it is because we were having all that freaking construction in the back and he didn't get to nap essentially 2 days in a row. There was one day where he literally didn't get to nap at all. And so that's when I was like, well, he's so screwed up anyway. That's like, I used it as a reset, you know. I just decided it's sort of like when you go on vacation and, you know, can change a habit. It's like everything's different, so let's at least just try it. And it did mess up his nighttime sleep a little bit. For about a week he ended up having some nighttime wakings. So
that's good to know too, because her nighttime sleep has also been kind of rough. She'll wake up crying, just cry in her sleep. Although I did stick my finger in her mouth again recently. I don't know why I always do this. I got the shit bit out of me. But I'm like, I need to know if teeth are coming in.
Yeah, it's so hard to find
anything.
Out. Yeah, they're so little. Like, they're little mouths and they got the chubby cheeks that get in the way.
Oh, yeah. She does not open her mouth for me to take a look. So I have to stick my finger in there. And I discovered that she does have two molars coming in. So I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
And then, being in the yuck zone of transition. transitioning to a nap. So what they advise is training your baby to stay awake longer in the morning. Because that's the problem is she shows signs of sleepiness around 9:30, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But that's not the right time of day for one nap.
It sure isn't. No, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to train them to stay awake, have a longer wake window in the morning, basically. And their idea is, you know, push it back. Push nap time back about 15 minutes every day. And I'm like, but that's going to take a long time. That's a process. I just want to get this over with. But, you know, reading it made me realize that that's probably is the best thing. Mm-hmm. So we've been pushing her nap back about 15 minutes every day. And, you know, she's about at 11:15 right now for a nap. And then if she's a little tired at the end of the day, I just take her for a walk and she can have some zone out time. So we're not fully there yet. We're in the transition.
But, I mean, 11:15 is getting pretty close. Like, I feel like 11:30 is considered a perfectly normal time to start your one midday nap.
Yeah, right? I hope so. I do get weird about lunch, though. Like, am I going to put her down and she's going to be hungry and that'll wake her up? Mm-hmm. Should I do lunch after, before? I'd rather, I think, push it to like you do, I think. You put the nap around 12:30 and like do lunch before, right?
Yeah, we were trying for 12, like basically anywhere between 12 and 12:30. We do lunch. So the way it works for here is we do lunch at 11:30, basically, because it takes him so much longer to eat than he used to. So we sort of sit down in our high chair for lunch around 11:30. Let him eat and all that stuff. And then, you know, the nap time routine actually ends up taking a fair amount of time for us. I don't know how long it takes for you, but like I have to change his diaper. I have to, you know, we still use that Owlet pulse oxygen monitor. So I put that on and I put the sleep sack on and then we nurse and then we read some books and then we go down. So it's basically bedtime routine, you know, just a little condensed. So that takes a while. So it usually ends up being that I put him down between 12 and 12:30, depending on like whether I actually get lunch out by 11:30. But that's my goal now is like lunch at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I like that plan. I like that.
But okay. it takes some backwards extrapolating with your schedule, you know, to figure it out. And it does feel weird to do lunch that early. But if you're just thinking about it, like, what is lunch? It's just the midday food.
Right? It's just, and like, she has snacks throughout the day. I mean, it's really just a series of eating incidents, really, is what they are.
Eating incidents. Amazing. Yeah.
The other thing about this is, you know, the experts say during this yuck zone, you might have to put the baby down earlier for bed sometimes. So I have done that. I put her down at 6:30 for a couple nights there. And actually, it did help her nighttime sleep better. I think she was like less overtired. So it seems so
totally.
It seems so counterintuitive, but I'm following the experts here, and it did make a difference in her night sleep. So, yeah, just in the yuck zone. So that's us. What about you guys? What are you up to, and how old's your toddler?
He is 14 months and 3 weeks. And this week, so I know we've talked about his verbal language and how he's like got so many words and he's doing really well in that respect, like totally mind-blowing every day, like the words he has. But something that I've discovered this week is that he's suddenly using sign language.
Oh, which have you been trying to teach it to him?
Very half-assedly. So half-assedly. Is that acidly? I'm making it an effort.
I like it.
Yeah. When he was really little, like starting around 4 months, actually maybe even earlier, we were like, okay, we're going to do the sign language. We were like doing more, please, all done. You know, we were trying to do all these milk, all these things, right? And then we got lazy and we thought he wasn't really responding. And you hear about babies at like 6 months using them. So I was like, oh, well, maybe he's just not a sign language guy. And then all of a sudden, this has been going on for like a week or two. He just started doing more.
Oh, it just clicked.
He was like done with his blueberries and he just did a little more, you know, or it's sort of like, if for people who don't know, you sort of make like an O shape essentially with your hands, both your hands, and then you touch the tips of your fingers together. And it's a very cute, delicate sign. So like, it's just adorable. He just goes like, you know, he puts his hands together and it's actually making communication way easier. Like he has a lot of words, but he doesn't really, he's not able to really express his like wants so much with words. You know, he has a lot of nouns. He can label a lot of things, but he can't really like tell me what he wants. He can't, you know, ask me to pick him up yet. He asks me in his way, which is like lifting his arm up and going, you know,
right.
Or pointing of where he wants to go. So suddenly having this, so what he says, I should say, is he has more. He occasionally has mimicked please, but I was like trying to show him and he's able to like do please. And
what's
then
please?
All
what's please, the sign for please?
You like rub your open palm on your chest, basically.
Oh, that and seems like a difficult concept for a baby to understand.
Please. I think like, yeah, we're connecting, like he'll say more and we'll say more please and do it, and then he'll add please. So I think he just thinks it means like even more.
Extra.
Yes, extra. Please, extra. And then he does all done, which is the one we've been actually really very consistent with all this time because it's just easy to do. You kind of just – it's kind of like the sign language applause. You hold your hands up and you turn them at the wrist. You like open palms, right? Okay. And so what he does is he lifts his arms up and just kind of like wildly flails them around.
Uh-huh. That's good.
But it's really helped with mealtimes because sometimes it's unclear whether he wants more or if he's done. And like, I'm taking him at his word. So now when I'll be like, do you want more? Are you all done? And he'll flap all done. Normally when I think, oh, he definitely is going to want more berries because he never stops eating berries. I take him at his word for it. And I think it's working. So,
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So
awesome.
That's really fun. And it's very encouraging because I feel like we just did the signs for like basically a year before yes. there was any payoff. So
that's a big commitment.
Now I'm trying to teach him some more. I need to look up. I took some sign language when I was younger, so I still know some signs in the back of my head, but I need to look up which ones are useful with babies. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
Yeah. And then sort of along the same lines, there was this song we used to sing to him all the time when he was like a little baby. It was sung at his mommy and me class every week. It's Open Shut Them. Do you know Open Shut Them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's a million versions of Open Shut Them. It's one of those ones where every time I've heard someone else sing it, I'm like, that's wrong. That's not how you do it. You know, it's like
okay,
everyone
I'm
going to
sing my version. You tell me if it's right or wrong. Open shut them, open shut them, give a little clap, clap, clap. Open shut them, open shut them, put them in your lap, lap, lap. And then it goes on to like creeping and crawling up to your mouth and opening, but don't put your fingers in and all that jazz.
Well, yours sounds exactly like mine.
Someone else,
I had heard one that was like, it was just slightly different. Some people say put them on your lap, I think, when you're doing story time.
No.
Like how to get them. But anyway, the point is that we were doing Open Shut Them, which you did a very beautiful rendition of.
Thank you.
So, and we started singing it and he starts like opening and shutting his hands when I open shut them. And then even before we got to clap, 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 he clapped.
Aww, that's
and
so cool.
And we hadn't sung that song to him in like months because I thought he had kind of gotten bored of it. Mm-hmm. And then now he'll like put his hand up to his chin, you know, like and put his hand on his lap. It's amazing.
That is so cool. The stuff that they are taking in is sticking somewhere in there. It's amazing what goes in their little head. It sticks in there and you don't even realize it. One thing we do is almost every single day we ask Alexa what the weather is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really cold lately. So everyone in our household, when Alexa says what the temperature is, you know, we're like, ooh, brr. Like the low tonight is 32. Brr. I didn't even like make any connections with that. But all of a sudden, I've noticed that every time we ask Alexa about the weather, Cece at the end chimes in and goes, brr, brr, brr. Like no matter what, you know, she says, it's like
that's
warmer
amazing.
Now. And she's just like, I'm like, oh my God, you've been listening to that and processing that,
yeah.
and having that in your head. And like now all of a sudden it's just coming out. It's wild. These little babies just blow me away.
Just to add on to that real quick. So the one other things I've noticed are like if there's a helicopter going by, because we live right by a hospital that has like a helicopter landing pad. So actually helicopters are going by all the time.
Uh-huh.
I can barely hear it sometimes. And he'll like put his little finger in the air and go, whoo. And make circular circular hand motions because I've
we
used to do that. We'd be like, oh, the helicopter, look, it comes by, and you know, and so sometimes I'll know that there's a helicopter before I can hear it because he'll be like, whoo, pointing at the sky.
That's incredible. Yeah, Cece also has a very special ear for the garbage truck, which she used to be very afraid of, but now she hears it come in like two blocks away and like wants to like run and see it and stuff. It's like, oh my God, what consumes their little world?
It's so fun to see their little personalities come out and like, oh, it's just that they have like these opinions and thoughts in there. It's
just,
I'm really enjoying toddlerdom, I have to say.
Aw, me too.
Yeah.
Our little people are becoming people.
I know.
So fun.
Well, should we take a little break and then come back with our special segment?
Yeah. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Never Have I Ever Parenting Edition, where we play that old college drinking game, but give it a parenting twist where we talk about the things we never have ever done in our lives until becoming parents. Laura, what do you got for us?
All right. Never have I ever whipped out a boob to get my toddler to cooperate with bedtime. And I mean, like, literally, like, popping it out of the bra cup and, like, just, like, putting it on display.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. No, I've never done that. So tell us, what is this all about?
Well, okay, my little guy is very sweet. He's getting very strong-willed, and I need to figure out what to do about this because I feel like I'm getting very wishy-washy. I need to download that No Bad Kids book by Janet Lansbury that you've been recommending. Mm-hmm. But lately, before bedtime, all he wants to do is just, like, run around. Like, We'll get him out of the bath and dry him off, and then he'll wriggle out of the towel, and then he will just be running wild, buck naked. And it's hilarious until he pees all over everything, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
And it is so cute to see their little, like, naked butts running around. But it is, you know, it gets tiring. And I was trying to get lotion on him. And lately we've been just using Vaseline because he's had some, like, dry, really, really dry spots where we've been picking him up that have gotten irritated. So we've just been using Vaseline, which ends up being, like, it ends up, like, greasing him up. So he ends up, like, being, like, a greased pig you can't wrestle, you know? Literally just sliding right out of your hands when you try to pick him up. And, of course, I'm trying to do this. There was some night where Corey couldn't help me with bedtime, so I was like, okay, I'm going to do this myself. And so my hands are covered in Vaseline. He's covered in Vaseline. He's running around. I try to get him by his torso, and he just goes boneless, like, and slips right through. So finally, I was just like, all right. And I sat down on the futon that's in his room, and I just, like, whipped the boob out. And he looks over and he goes, boo-boo, boo-boo. And I was like, yeah, boo-boo. Do you want this boo-boo? Because you have to come over here if you want it. And he was like, boo-boo, boo-boo. So he comes over, and I was able to, like, get him dressed.
Ha-ha, got him.
Just with the lure of the boob.
Wow. So. It is a big lure. We do know that it is, like, literally his favorite thing in the whole world.
He does like the boo-boo. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he likes nursing. It's not that. I feel like there are some people who, like, oh, he's going to be a boob man. I just, like, immediately shut that shit down. You've never heard that? I guess you probably don't because you have girls and people don't say. I've had a couple people say that shit to me, and I'm just like, no. Like, we're not. There's absolutely nothing sexual about this.
Because he's nursing longer than a year that they say that? Or why?
And he loves it. You know, he comes over and he, like, tries to lift my shirt up and he's like, boo, 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 you know? Like, I see what he likes. It's like, stop it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's gross. Don't sexualize that.
No. Anyone who sexualizes breastfeeding needs to walk away quickly before
shut their mouths.
Yes. But he, and you know, there is something weird about, like, whipping a boob out because you kind of think about it and, like, you know, I don't know, stripper fashion. Just like, boom, it just, like, pops right out. But it worked. It worked.
Good for you. It's a good mom hack.
I mean, you use what you have at your disposal, and those are always at my disposal.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. You have a secret weapon, basically.
It is. I probably
in
should
your holsters,
use, like,
your bra
in my
holsters.
Yes. It just depends on how fast I can get, like, the nursing bra unlatched. I should look into, like,
draw.
Proper. How fast is your draw? I should look into proper, like, discipline techniques so I don't have to just keep, like, luring him with the prospect of. But the thing is, he knows he gets boob at the end of every, you know, bedtime routine, but whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm trying not to make that like a regular thing.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Works in a pinch, though. Mm-hmm. So what do you have? What's your first never have I ever?
Never have I ever fallen to my knees yelling motherfucker in the middle of a crowded playground.
Oh, no. Who kicked you? What happened?
Oh, man, we were having such a great day that day. We went for a hike and then there was a little playground nearby. And so we went. It was really crowded playground. And Cece was running around under the play structure. You know how some of them have like platforms up on top, but then there's space for the kids to like run around underneath. Mm-hmm. And there's like a little mirror on this one. And it was so cute. She like ran in there and was like noticed herself in the mirror and was like waving and saying hi to herself. And then like, this is kind of gross. She was giving herself like kisses in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went under to kind of like, you know, get her to stop kissing herself.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is so cute. I got to tell Steve about how she's like talking to herself in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
And I start coming out from underneath this play structure. And I was like, oh, Steve. And he looks over. And as I'm coming out, I just slammed the shit out of the top of my head the play structure above me. He's like, oh my God, I think you hit a bolt. And
oh,
I'm like,
no.
I like, grasped my head and fell to my knees. I'm like, motherfucker. And it hurt so bad. I started crying.
Oh, no.
And as soon as the motherfucker came out of my mouth, I was like completely aware that there are all these kids and parents around. And my impulse was to be like, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. But then I'm like, you know what? Who cares? I am in pain.
Yeah.
And so I just like got up slowly and held my head and like cried as I walked over to a bench. And I'm like, I mean, I was trying very hard to not cry, but
yes,
it was impossible. Like, I was just, I felt like a little kid who got a boo-boo on the playground. Like,
you did. You were just a big kid who got a boo-boo on the playground. Oh, no. Yes.
And I just felt so stupid, you know, and embarrassed. And
I know.
Oh, my God.
I hate hitting my head. I've discovered with some introspection that every single time I hit my head on something, I immediately am looking for someone else to blame. Like, instantly. I, for some reason, hit my head a lot when I'm, like, coming in and out of the car, especially for some reason when I have, like, sunglasses on the top of my head.
Oh,
I don't
annoying.
Know what it is. It, like, changes my proprioception where I, like, don't know where my head is or something. It, like, makes me think that it's shorter. I don't know,
uh-huh.
but I bonk my head a lot doing that.
Oh, no.
And I can't tell you how many times I've been like, Corey! And I'm like, wait, he has absolutely nothing to do with this. But, like,
that
my instinct.
Funny.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's funny because I don't have that.
I'd be like, he made me go get things out of the car or whatever.
Oh, right. That's a very quick connection to make. I don't do that. I just instantly get furious if I hit my head. And I do this a lot, like on kitchen cabinets. You know, I leave kitchen cabinets open.
Oh, God, I hate that.
It's my worst pet peeve of myself, of what I do. Because I'm so busy and multitasking. I open one thing, grab something, and I'll whip around really fast in the kitchen because to go somewhere else, and like the corner of it just hits my head.
Oh.
And I just get furious. I'm the kind of person, this is so embarrassing to admit, but especially if no one is around, I will like take that cabinet door and just like slam it, you know, a few times and be like, you motherfucker, piece of shit, cabinet. I don't do that when my kids are around. I try not to. But that is my instinct, is just rage, fury, and like, how can I punish the inanimate object that just hurt me?
In a way, that's better than blaming a blameless spouse. Like,
yeah, that's so funny. Corey,
why did you put this car right here?
Oh, man. So, but anyway, that injury hurt so bad.
Did you get like a knot?
I got a knot. I had a headache for a few days.
Oh, no.
And it didn't like really bleed, you know, it wasn't bleeding.
That's good.
But yeah, it did kind of like, I think it just scraped it. So it like scabbed over. It hurt, I want to say, for like a week and a half. It hurt. It was really bad to shampoo it and everything. So poor me.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you healed.
Yeah, me too. I'm better now.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have another one for us?
I do. Okay. I do. Never have I ever stashed a bag of chocolate chips in my fanny pack.
Oh, God. So you're a fanny pack wearer now, I take it?
I guess I am.
And chocolate chips. Who are the chocolate chips for?
Me. So... So the fanny pack, I got it when my baby was like a newborn for going on walks and stuff with him while I was wearing him in the baby carrier.
Smart.
And I've kind of abandoned it for a while because I was wearing jeans and jeans have pockets. Well, right now we are back in our COVID-19 quarantine, as you know. We don't talk a lot about it on the show, but the point is that I've been stuck at home and not really eager to wear a lot of jeans. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
So I'm back to my yoga pants. Yoga pants do not have pockets.
Right.
It's one of the worst things about yoga pants. It's actually maybe the only bad thing about yoga pants.
Yeah, true.
That they generally don't have pockets. So I've started wearing the fanny pack and rediscovered its insane usefulness. Like, I'm loving it again. It's so great. And I don't feel like a dork because I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, no one can see you.
Corey already knows I'm a big dork, so it doesn't matter. There was a day last week where he was like, so you're wearing a fanny pack, huh? I'm like, yes, sir.
Just around the house?
Yeah.
What are you carrying around the house? I mean, besides chocolate chips.
Usually it's just my phone and I'll put like my AirPods in it so I can like pop in my headphones to listen to a podcast if I want to. But, you know, I'm chasing the toddler around. So I can't tell you how often I just put my phone down and then I can't find it. And then someone will be like calling. I can't find it. So if you have it in your fanny pack, it's there all the time.
Okay.
You can also throw your keys in if you do pop out. Anyway, that's
the general purpose
of the fanny pack. This is a little infomercial for the fanny pack. Mm-hmm. However, the other day I was running around, had the fanny pack on, and I started snacking on a bag of 60% chocolate cacao, like, or 60% cacao Ghirardelli chocolate chips that are my favorite to bake with.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, in these times where we don't go to the grocery store that much, they have now turned into a snack for
me. Oh my God, they have in our house too. It's like the only thing I can bribe Elle with. You want a chocolate chip?
Yeah. Well, I have a toddler who wants to eat everything I'm eating. So he was not able to deal with the fact that the bag of chocolate chips was out. And every time I like put it on the kitchen counter, he would like go up and point and go, given him like a little tiny piece. You know, they're too hard. You know, I think they're still a choking hazard. And, you know, I don't want to feed my toddler a lot of chocolate. So I don't want him to have them. And so then I suddenly realized like I could just put it in my fanny pack. Take a few out whenever I need any. And the fanny, you know, it doesn't get warm. It's not going to melt in the fanny pack.
Yeah.
Like it would in your pocket, so.
Oh, my gosh.
This
Brilliant.
Is where we're at.
Another great mom hack.
Yes, yes. Shauna, do you have a never have I ever to close us out?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, should we take a little break and then come back and hear
Sure. Good
exciting
idea.
Exciting never have I ever.
I'm going to grab a few chocolate chips.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna. Think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, we're back, and I'm dying to hear Shauna's next Never Have I Ever. Shauna?
Never have I ever owed so much money in library fines.
Oh, shit. let's talk about this, Shauna.
Okay. So, I've always sucked at returning library books. But, you know, before you have kids, you just don't check out many books. I didn't. Like, maybe, you know, a novel here and there, like, whatever. But now that I have kids, I mean, I'm checking out 30 books at a time.
Wow, really?
I love checking out books. I take the kids to the library. We pick out like 20 to 30 picture books and bring them home for 3 weeks. And 3 weeks always goes so fast, and I can't keep track of it. And like,
especially with 20 to 30 books.
I know. They're spread out everywhere, you know. And it's just, oh my God. And so if you're even like one day late, it's like $6 because it all adds up. I think it's like, I don't know what the late fee is at the Los Angeles Public Library. Maybe like 20 cents a book or something like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, and you can't use your library card again if you have a certain amount of fines on there. And I mean,
what are we talking? Like hundreds of dollars?
No. When you put it that way, it's fine.
Thousands? But like, millions?
Thousands, exactly. I have spent $25,000 to check out all the latest Mo Willems books. No, I mean, just like every time I go, it's like, okay, you owe $15. I'm like, God damn it. Why am I paying all this money to like, this is supposed to be a free service. Mm-hmm. And so I just really need to get my shit together and keep track of the due dates. Or maybe Steve does. I mean, Steve's never in charge of like the library book due date. It's one of those things that's, you know, I've taken on my plate, I guess.
And, does he check them out, though?
You know, he has a couple times, and he thinks I'm ridiculous for checking out so many, actually. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, maybe don't check out 30 books. I'm like, but, you know, you have them for 3 weeks. You read a few new ones every day. I like my strategy. I just need to get better at returning them, I guess.
So are your kids, like, do they get bored? I mean, Elle, I guess, would probably get bored reading the same book over and over. But, like, does Cece actually want additional books, or is she, like,
These books are actually more for Elle, I would say.
Okay.
The board books at the library, I tried, and they're kind of gross. I don't know. They seem gross. Like, I've seen how Cece treats our board books. She's chewing them, eating them. I just don't want to bring those home, really. So I guess, it is more for the bigger kid. Cece will look through them. She does enjoy it. But yeah, Elle loves reading new books and having new stories and new things to look at. It's an exciting thing to look forward to once your kid gets older. Because I love books. I love kids' books.
Yeah. I mean, we've been to the library. We checked out two books. And they're board books, but they're in pretty good condition. And he's now treating them with much more respect, which I really like. No more books in the mouth, thankfully.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he's old enough to deal with it. But we found this one book called Baby Loves. And it's just a bunch of pictures. And it's like, there's a picture of like a baby eating a banana. And it's like, baby, when baby is hungry, baby loves a yummy banana. And then on the next page is like all these different there's like six different fruits, and it's like, can you find the banana? And
oh, you know, fun.
It's very simple, but he loves it. He's been crawling over and saying like, baby, baby. He wants the baby book, and he just loves looking at it.
Cute. So, yeah. It's so fun that they have their little book preferences at such mm-hmm. a young age. I've mentioned Cece's favorites, and it's just amazing to me. Like, they know she knows exactly where it is on the bookshelf, and like goes and gets it, and it's. Row, row, row. She loves
that's
that.
So fun.
Yeah, right. That's so
well,
fun.
Well, this has been fun. I think you need to maybe not, you don't have to go down to like two books, but maybe cut down to like 10 to 15. See how that goes. I'm just trying to save you money.
I know. No, you know, I could just use my calendar alerts, remind me to return them. I like my 30 book system, so.
All
or just
right.
buck up and pay the money.
That's true. I mean, it's to a good cause. The library is a great cause to, you know, spend your money on. So
yes.
Yeah.
It is. I support the library. Two more. Just like this. These have no stories, but I wrote these down and I don't even remember why or what. These never have I evers. Can I just share these really quick?
Sure.
Apparently, never have I ever said, please don't eat those underwear. So that's a thing I said as a parent that mm-hmm. never said before. Another thing I've said recently, never have I ever said, we don't put butts on people's faces.
Mm-hmm. That's a good rule to live by, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, those are my never have I evers. Shall
Very
we
fun.
Move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it. And we're back. So every week we close with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yay.
I discovered recently that Spotify has a kids version, which I'm very Ooh. Excited about. If you are a premium subscriber, you can have access to the kids app. So your kid can have like their own profile and it curates kids music. And I know you're not a fan of kids music and playing like regular music for your kid. But our house is very full of like Disney stuff, Pink Fong. I mean, the kids like what they like, and yeah. I have given it to them, and it has completely clogged up my own Spotify account.
Like yeah, yes.
When the Spotify did like the year in review, right? Like, what are your favorite songs? It's like, well, first of all, I play Enya all night for Elle. She just listens to that all night. So that's my top one, right? Enya. And then it's like Pink Fong and the song from Moana. And it's none of my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had the same problem because I use the Sonos to play a white noise, like a second. I layer my white noise for my baby at night.
Uh-huh.
And so I have like all night long, every night, 12 hours or whatever, I on loop play this one white noise track that like has no fade. And so the year in review was all my freaking white noise. And then every time I go to like my Discover Weekly, it's all freaking ambient sound. It's all it plays for me.
All my Discover Weekly is all kids music. It's so annoying. Another thing about the Spotify Kids app I like is that it has some kind of parental controls. Mm. So I can say that I wanted to play music for kids age 0 to 5. So my kids aren't going to be accidentally exposed to one of our new favorite songs, which Spotify gave us. It was a song called Wiggle Jiggle. Uh-huh. Elle was just like, Alexa, play Wiggle Jiggle. Like, cause we were just like, let's play a Wiggle Jiggle song. I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. I thought a kids song would come up. And she's like, now playing Wiggle Jiggle by Two Turnt Boys. And it's like, I got a drink in my hand, butt cheeks in another. And like, these are the songs that come up. But then like, it's a really fun song. And so she loves it and she dances to it and stuff. But I'm like, you know, I don't know. The older she gets, I really don't want her listening mm-hmm. to songs about the club and having butt cheeks in her hand and everything.
Oh, so, in our house, we were out somewhere and Rihanna's song, What's My Name, mm-hmm. came on. And my baby, he started, this is like a month or two ago. He started, you know, it's like, na na, what's my name? Oh, na na. You know that song?
Uh-huh.
So he starts going like, na na, na na. I thought that was funny. So uh-huh. I go home and I turn it on and then I'm like, this song is about cunnilingus.
Oh, Jesus.
I never paid attention to the words. I never really listened to the song. I was like, do I want him to be repeating this song?
Yeah, it's like until a certain point, I didn't really care much about lyrics. Yeah. But, you know, now that Elle is older and she pays attention to everything, it's amazing. She's really got an ear for lyrics. She inherits that from Steve. And she'll be like, what's that? And I'm like, nothing. Let's listen to Moana again. So, yeah, it's too bad because Wiggle Jiggle is a fun song anyway.
I'm going to have to listen to Wiggle Jiggle.
You have
privately.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a separate app you put on your phone.
Yes, it's a separate app. And so far, I'm loving it.
That's great.
Yeah. What about you?
I have a BFP.
Cool.
So mine is, since we talked so much about books earlier, I wanted to talk about a book that's my baby's absolute favorite right now that he asked for my name, which is The Pout Pout Fish. Do you have The Pout Pout Fish?
I have The Pout Pout Fish memorized from back. To front.
It's a long book, too. Mm-hmm. We actually skip pages in The Pout Pout Fish sometimes because it's a long book. I think he's just starting to get to the point where we could get through the whole thing. But for those who don't know The Pout Pout Fish, it's he's a pout pout fish with a pout pout face, and he spreads the dreary drearies all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very cute book about this fish that thinks he's a glum, gloomy swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
With an ever-present pout. You can tell I already also have it memorized. But it's really cute. And to not, like, spoil it, I guess I am about to spoil it. Spoiler alert. At the end, he turns into a kiss-kiss fish.
Yeah.
And it does have, like, questionable consent in it. There is, like, another fish planting a kiss without, you know, explicit, enthusiastic consent. However, it is so cute because my baby, I'll ask, what do you want to read? And he'll go, pout, pout.
Aww.
And, you know, he'll pick it up and bring it over to us. And he just goes nuts when it comes time to turn into the kiss kiss fish. Because, you know, we go, I'm a kiss kiss. And we, like, give him kisses. And you know, the end, there's just, like, five long smooches. So I'll smooch, smooch. And he is just so happy. And I think, honestly, it's teaching him to, like, give more kisses.
Oh, fun.
Which I'm all for. Like,
good
he's
strategy.
Been, yeah. Like, he's been grabbing me by the cheeks and, like, planting kisses on my mouth. And I'm just like, I love you. Like,
God,
please keep doing this
best.
Forever. Daddy's a little, my husband, Corey, is a little jealous because he hasn't quite gotten the, like, full face kiss yet. He gets, like, the cheek kisses and stuff, but I'm sure it's coming soon. But, yeah, The Pout Pout Fish by Deborah Deason. Apparently, there's a whole series. I haven't seen the other ones. Have you?
Yeah, we've read several of them. I think we also have Pout Pout Fish and the Deep, Deep Dark. Mm. But the thing I really love about, especially the original Pout Pout Fish, is the rhyming rhythm is so perfect. There's not one line of rhythm that's off. I cannot handle a rhyming book that kind of, like, tries to squeeze things in and, like, the rhythm doesn't work. It literally makes me angry. And the Pow Pow Fish, just everything just rolls like that rhythm. A Pow Pow Fish, you know, the Pow Pow Face. I just love it. Yeah. It's a great book.
It's also a great opportunity to do voices because, like, every section is like the octopus comes by, the clam comes by, the jellyfish comes by. And so, like, you know, they all can have funny voices. So my baby really loves that. Yeah.
Oh, I love doing voices. Can I just really quickly do my Pout Pout Fish voice? Just his voice?
Yeah, do your Pout Pout. And then I'm going to do mine. Let's see if they're similar.
Because I want to hear what yours is. Okay. I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face, and I spread the dreary wearies all over the place. Blub, blub, blub.
That's pretty similar. We're pretty on. So here's mine. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pout pout fish with a pout pout face, so I spread the dreary wearies all over the place. Blub, blub, blub.
Oh my God. It's so funny to hear you do that because I've been doing voices for these books for years and it's something that, like, my adult friends never see. I never hear my other adult friends do these, like, little character-y voices, you know? And it's just so funny.
Yeah. And I don't know about you. So we have this other book called Hooray for Hat, which is another good one.
Uh-huh,
and
I
try to do voices
one.
On that. Oh, Hooray for Hat's great. Maybe I'll have to send you Hooray for Hat or look for it at the library.
Okay.
It's a good one, but it's another one you can do voices because there's, like, a turtle, a zebra, a lion. They all say things, right?
Uh-huh.
And I do it my way, and then I'll listen to Corey read the book, and I'm like, God. wait, Zebra's a woman. Like, like, for me, it's like Zebra says, and she's a lady, and he's like, he makes like Zebra. I'm like, what are you doing? That's not Zebra.
That's not Zebra. Oh my God. Elle does that now to both of us. Like, if I'm really? The first one to get to her on a new library book, I read it in a certain way, and she gets to... enjoy it that way. And then Steve will come and try to read it to her at bed one night, and she'll get pissed, and she'll be like, Daddy, that's not how it goes.
Oh, no.
Mama, and like comes, and I have to teach Steve the right way to read it.
It's, oh no. You guys need to have like a conference.
I always do feel proud about that, by the way. Yeah. I do feel kind of like secretly proud when she's like, oh, Daddy, you need to do it Mama's way. I'm like, that's 100%. Right. Let me come in here and teach you, sir.
But I was going to say, like, when you get the library books back, you guys need to sit down and, like, make some notes. Be like, okay, Zebra has a female voice. Like, here, I'll let you decide what jellyfish sounds like today.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Like, I would even remember. I mean, I can't even remember page to page sometimes. Like, wait, what does the snake sound like that I just did?
I know,
oh, yeah. I don't know. Who cares? Who cares? It's fun, though. I really, really love reading kids' books and making the voices. It just appeals to that part of me that was like the elementary school kid that loved reading out loud, right? It's like, yes. Who wants to read this chapter out loud? I would shoot my hand up in the air, and it was like, me, 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 me. Right. I just, yeah, I've always loved too. That. It's like,
me
yeah.
too.
Like that performance-y, theater-y part of me is such so dorky, but I love it.
And the teacher's like, anyone else? Yes, anyone else?
Oh, Shauna again. Okay.
Shauna, I guess it's your turn again.
I knew you would get that. I knew you would
like
that too. Oh, I was
100% that kid.
Oh my God. This is why we're such good friends.
I'm still that person, but I know better to like not be the first one. Like in moms groups and stuff, they're like, anyone want to share? I'm like, wait for someone else to share. I'm such an oversharer.
But then if there's like an awkward silence, it's like I have to break that silence and say something. It's like,
oh,
okay,
yeah.
No one else is talking, so I guess I'll say something.
Speaking of talking, do you think we've maybe overstayed our welcome on this episode?
As we usually do. So let's wrap it up. You guys, what are your favorite kids and babies books? I would love to add to my library.
Me too.
So yeah, let us know. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can also find our community group on Facebook. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group, so you have to request to join, but I will add you right away, and you can join in our really cool conversations we're having in there. Or you can send us an email with a voice memo if you'd like to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
If you love the show, continue to spread the word. Let your friends know about the Big Fat Positive Podcast. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.